What's going on, world, man? Y'all already know the deal. D'Angelo playing silently in the background. Y'all know what that means. It is real life and real talk time on this Saturday. Yo, 12 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm ready to rock so we can all roll. It's your hostess with the mostest, Tyler Campbell, a.k.a. Mr. TC Speaks. And you better believe, listen to me, I have a smile on my face. Energy to waste. That's right. And if you're looking for inspiration, unity, and community, then watch this. It is guaranteed. It is guaranteed that you are in the right place. All right. So let's go, ladies and gentlemen, so we can grow. It may be raining outside, but on Real Life and Real Talk today, your host is guaranteed to bring you the sunshine. Right. And so my man, John, is over here tweaking and twisting the dials, making sure everything is copacetic and looking right. Because we have a powerful message to be able to deliver and encourage today, all right? So the rain is falling, but we got the energy. We will get you through through today and have a smile on your face and get you propelled so that you can tack the weekend as well as the upcoming week with veracity, right? With expectation in your heart, right? With the belief that you are going to go out and do some dynamic, amazing things with your life and watch this impact the lives of others, man. I'm so juiced. I'm so geeked to be in the studio. Last week was the spring game at the University of Texas. A lot of people were hitting me up like, man, where's the show, TC? Where's the show? I'm like, man, we got bump because of the spring game, so I come with the added level of energy. And today I gotta be honest with y'all, man. I got a confession to make. Real Life, Real Talk Nation, I got a confession to make. Listen, your host is getting, I'm getting old, y'all, and I mean this wholeheartedly. It pains me. Listen, I'm 30, I'm getting old, man. My son is going through summer track right now. My oldest, my firstborn, Messiah Campbell, he's going through track right now for the Austin Striders Track Club. And at his track practice the other day, they didn't have enough for a relay team, right? Some kids didn't make it to practice. They didn't have enough. So there were some short relays that didn't have a last leg, that fourth leg. And coach is like, man, Tyler, Hodges Mitchell, can you two help us out? And my man Hodges, who was nice enough to come on the show a couple of weeks ago, he looked at me. I looked at him like, man, listen, I ain't running a sprint in I don't know how long. I don't think my body is made for this, right? And he looked at me. He like, man, I'm scared. I'm going to pull a hamstring. And so we're doing the right thing as parents, right? We're trying to get after it, right? We're trying to be supportive because we got our babies out here, and we don't want to let our babies down. We'll let our children down. So me and Hodges get to that fourth leg. We line up, and they're running the full relay, which means me and Hodges are responsible for bringing the baton all the way back that last 100 plus meters into the finish line, right? And so the baton comes to me, like my little runner. He's about 10 years old, man. He's coming. And it's like, okay, TC, all right, you feeling good. You see the kids. You don't want to go out and like no punk. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, well, I get this baton. I'm going to try to kick it into some gear, you know, give them a good look too to get ready for their track meet. I don't want to have do it. So I'm telling y'all, As soon as I pushed off, it's like, uh-oh. Like, I felt an uh-oh in my hamstring on my right side, man. And literally 20 meters, y'all. Not even far, 20 meters. I'm already clutching my hamstring. I'm hurting. Kids are laughing. Hodges Mitchell is laughing at me. And I had limped my way across the finish line, man. And so I'm getting old, y'all. I think I need to stay tuned to this microphone, stay the heck off of a track, trying to prove myself, doing stuff without warming up. Man, I should have known better. So I'm sitting here in the booth. I'm speaking to you guys. I got my leg propped up, lifted, a little bit of ice underneath me. But we still going to get through this thing, man. Y'all keep your boy TC in prayers, man. But I'm definitely getting old. I also want to shout out the Real Life Real Talk Nation, because a powerful thing happened for this show throughout the course of the week. I actually took the time to look up SoundCloud, right? I try to do my research on the show, try to check out who's listening, what our views are like, man, because I love y'all, respect y'all so much. And we have one of the top three episodes here at the Horn radio station, the top three most viewed episodes. We're sitting there at number three, and that is a testament to you all, man. I can't believe it, right? It's one thing to be able to have your own radio show. It's truly something special to know that. Grew up all right here in nearby 360. My pops used to just let me sit in his lap, and I would drive, be able to hold the steering wheel and be able to drive on 360 with my pops. I'm not saying y'all should do that with your kids, but to know that I passed this building for so many years growing up all my life, and to know that now I'm sitting here and having a radio show for it, powerful. And to know that you all are listening, making this show what it is, right? So I thank you all as listeners, man. I really appreciate you. We have that number 3 spot. And in case y'all were wondering what episode it was, I know I got a lot of deep listeners here. It's actually the episode that took place in March, where I talked about One Night in America, and the topic of the show was welcoming failure. And for whatever reason, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of people have been listening, have been sharing that message. And so, boom, we're there as the top 3. Tell Aaron and Bucky, tell the triple option, like, man, we're coming for the title, Real Life, Real Talk Nation. So take these messages, share them on SoundCloud, follow me on social media at TCSpeaks32. And let's get these messages out, right? Because somebody needs to hear this. We need to get uplifted, and we need to take the city by storm. But a lot of things also taking place this past week as well, man. Shout out again to the Multiple Sclerosis Association of America. Y'all know me, been living with MS ever since I was 21 years old. I'm 34 now, man. So do the math. You're looking at 13 years. I've been living with this disease, and I make it a point to serve. And I'm honored to be the host of the Improving Lives benefit taking place Thursday, May 13th, right? So get your popcorn ready. Grab your tickets at mymsaa.org. Mymsaa.org. We are already going through the process of planning this virtual show now. And as your host, y'all know I'm going to bring my passion, my energy, and my thunder, because what can be done at this show has the capability to impact the MS community, not just in this country, but across the globe, because the MSAA also does powerful work in Puerto Rico and other places. Places, man. So it is an honor and a privilege. And a crazy thing happened while I was on the show, while we were recording yesterday. As a matter of fact, when my sound man Mike and I, we were recording our rehearsal for this function. And one of the ladies from the organization, the MSAA organization, she looked at me over the Zoom and she was like, "Yo, Tyler, how do you have so much energy? Why is it that you go above and beyond with the program and try to give more and more to what we're trying to do?" And I tell her, man, I know what it's like to be in a wheelchair. You know what I'm saying? I know what it's like to have your body overcome. I know what it's like to have to depend on people for help. I know what it's like to be at the bottoms of the bottles, have drop foot laying motionless on the flat of your back. I know what it's like to be there. And because I've never forgotten that, I give life everything that I have with every fiber of my being. Even when I am walking in my gift, when I'm serving for people, I give it all. And watch this. It's nothing more than a choice. So for somebody today, I want you to know that you have the capability to choose how you're living your life. And don't you forget it. You hold the keys. You hold the power over your life and the choice of how you live it, the decisions you choose to make. Yo, it is free to do so. So I give life everything. And I never forget that, yo, my ancestors prayed for me. Do you know that you are where you are right here and right now because somebody before you took time to pray for you before your existence even came to be? I know my ancestors prayed for me. And now I'm here. I've got to take the world by storm. And when you think like that, man, it changes your perspective. It changes your outlook. It changes how you feel about certain situations and the way that you attack and fulfill your life, man. Somebody prayed for me. Somebody is praying for you or has prayed for you in the past. So you got to come with, and you got to get with the giddy up. You know, truth will always speak. Y'all heard me say that time and time again. My stage name, I go by Mr. TC Speaks, and I say TC speaks the truth. Truth always speaks. And make it a point to be thoughtful of the way you treat and interact with other people, man. Please make that a point. Make it a point to put yourself in position where your past does not rob you of a prosperous future. And so my past of what I went through with MS is always a constant reminder, always makes me go above and beyond, always makes me appreciate the day, because I never, ever forget what once was. All right. And when you do those things, people will go out of their way to make a way for you, man. So not only did I do that thing for the MSAA this week to show you how the motto goes and to show you that there's proof in the pudding, I was also approached by another pharmaceutical company, shout out to Sanofi Genzyme, who was put in touch with me through the MSAA, and they wanted 3 videos done for them, right? Three videos on patient advocacy work, how to live your life with MS. They gave me 3 videos. They said, you know, keep it between 5 and 8 minutes. We don't want to bother you too much. Yo, I gave them 15 minutes of fire straight off the microphone of upliftment, encouragement, of what it's like to live with MS from a different perspective, touched on people of color with MS. I gave them more. And whenever you can give more, whenever your name is called, whenever your name is called on your job, whenever your name is called as a father, whenever your name is called within the community, whenever your name is called within your marriage to do something, I want to encourage people to go above and beyond, because nobody ever forgets that. It resonates with somebody's heart. And watch this, whenever somebody is in dire need of something, or whenever they're thinking of somebody who could be uplifted and moved to a situation when they can capitalize and make a difference in not only other people's lives, but they think that you will be somebody who's well suited for an opportunity because it could change your life, yo, they will think of you because they won't forget. Why? Because when it didn't matter, when it was nothing on the line, when it was just you giving of your time and your services towards something, you gave it in a way that was unexpected because you gave so much of yourself. You surpassed expectations. And so every day, ladies and gentlemen, is an opportunity. And I want nobody to take anything for granted. Flip that switch on in your mind. Make the choice to go above and beyond whenever you are called or whenever you are asked to do something. Or, by frankly, whenever you're not asked to do something, you just volunteer your services. People will remember that, and they will recommend your name in the hat when other opportunities arise. That's why I'm so glad today, because today's topic of the show is carpe diem, ladies and gentlemen. It's carpe diem. I'm going to give you three principles as to why or as to how you go about seizing the day. All right. We're going to get into that. But before I do, I want to get lastly into our shout out of the week. Right. Our shout out of the week, man, because it is because of you all as listeners that I am where I am, that this show is where it is. It is because of the community. It is because you guys take the time to listen. It's because you guys go back to SoundCloud and play back all of these episodes, man. So a shout out of the week goes to another loyal listener out there in Atkins, Arkansas, believe it or not. And those of us who ain't familiar, because people listen across the country, Atkins, Arkansas is all the way in the northwest part of Arkansas, northwest of Little Rock. All right. So I'll dumb it down for you. I'll put you northwest of Little Rock. My man, Alan Stubbs, he's always somebody who sends forth emails, you know, keeps me in the loop of not only what he is doing, but how his family is doing, man. Has an amazing son. I mentioned him before. He has a son by the name of Creed. I believe he also has a daughter, because he makes his daughter listen to my messages. But above all that, man, a true leader, a true pillar within the community, somebody who goes above and beyond for his children and for his wife. He specializes in doing startup patents. And my man, Alan, I just want to salute you. I just want to say thank you for always commenting. Thank you for always taking the time to send out emails, not wanting anything, bro. You just take the time to even check up on me. You know, that says a lot. We get into the hustle and bustle of this world. Alan just calls me just to check up on me, man. And so I love you for that, Alan. I really, really, truly appreciate you. Thank you for always, always being down as a listener. All right. And so, with that shout out of the week, I'll revert back again. The title of today's message is going to be the topic of carpe diem. All right. Because that term right there, it means seize the day. You've heard it before. But what I want to do for everybody who is listening in is I want to take the time to literally carve out that term carpe diem, where it comes from, how it got here. But more importantly, I don't want to just speak the term, y'all. I want to take the time to show you, literally show you and give you three steps of a friendly reminder as to how you approach your day, to which you can carpe diem that thing and seize the day. All right. Because I want people to know that every day it should be your goal to be a seed planter. All right. I want everybody to plant seeds in and around their home, in and around their community, in and around their neighborhood, in and around their family. Right. And it's not necessarily for you to hopefully to reap those benefits of living your life a certain way, giving people that model of what it's like to be a stand up husband, a stand up wife, a stand up sister, a stand up brother, a stand up community leader, a stand up person on your job, not just to be a boss on your job, but watch this, to be a leader. All right, because those are two different things. We have bosses and we have leaders. But whenever you are a leader, man, it transcends and over and brings you beyond with somebody who is a boss. And the way that you are, when you say you are a leader, that means you are a seed planter. It means you are placing things into the atmosphere, putting things into the community, putting things into the world, not for your own benefit. You're not taking the time out to help other people for your own benefit. You're not taking the time out to put forth extra time on your job for your own benefit. No. You are planting seeds in and around, not just for yourself, because you know other people are watching you. And you're planting seeds because you know what you're doing can hopefully help somebody else get through whatever it is that they're going through. And in the process, you know that you're not looking to reap any benefits from that. You're just planting the seeds because someday something or someone will water that seed, boom, and that seed will flourish. And it will make this world, this country, that person, that family, that community, that city, that state, that organization better than where it was when it once started. Be a seed planter, y'all. Let's carpe diem this thing. We'll get into it on the other side of this break. Y'all know how we do it. You tell a friend to tell a friend. I'll see you on the other side.
Tell your mama, tell your pa, I'm going to send you back to Arkansas. Oh, yes,
man. Oh, man. Listen. Ray Charles had it going on, man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mr. Ray Charles had it going on, man. What a remarkable individual. Truly, truly gifted, amazing human being. The legendary Ray Charles, man. Hey, your host back with the mostest, Tyler Campbell, a.k.a. Mr. TC Speaks, going live and wild on your radio dial. Send us text messages in 512-337-3776. Real life, real talk nation, stand up. As I said in the first segment, y'all, we have on the SoundCloud right now, we're able to track listeners and you're able to see how many views things get, man. Real life, real talk nation, we have one of the third most viewed shows on our SoundCloud at 104.9 The Horn. And so thank you all so very much. Thank y'all for spreading the word. Everybody taking the time to listen. Man, I really appreciate you. Love you and respect you. On this Horn radio station, we are live. We are local. We are digital. Man, take us all in the Horn app. Take us everywhere that you go. Listen to us on Saturdays. As always, we have an amazing, amazing dynamic morning show, a lineup here on Saturdays. And I just love everybody, man, from Revved Up, Playing in the Rough, the tailgating show that we have earlier with Rogers and everybody else. Man, thank y'all. It's a joy to be a part of the Horn family, man. And I don't take it lightly. For Real Life, Real Talk Nation, something is happening, man. Something is moving. People are being touched. People are being changed. People are being empowered. People are being inspired. And it's not just me. It's because everybody is coming together as a community for this show. And I appreciate y'all, man. I love you. I'm at TC Speaks 32 on all social media platforms. Y'all send me an email, Tyler@TCSpeaks.com or IamTylerCampbell.com. For feel free to to visit the radio, to visit my website, leave comments. Let me know what you think of the show. I consider my show a show for the people, and it is a true honor and a privilege. Man, Ray Charles is the playlist that we have today. I think I was telling everybody in the first segment, you know, it's a trip to me every time I come down 360 and I come into this building, because growing up, you know, past this building so many times, and to think that one day, you know, that little dude was growing up on the west side of Austin would one day have his own radio show. You know, it's powerful. I literally vividly still remember sitting on my dad's lap, driving the car home. He let me sit in his lap and let me drive. You know how fathers do. You know how we do. You know, if my mom knew what he was doing, she would go nuts. She would have gone bananas, berserk over all of us. But to pass that building so many times, and we would listen to Ray Charles. You know, Ray Charles's greatest hits. You know, my dad loved Ray Charles. I think we had this thing called Laserdisc. I'm telling my age, y'all. I'm telling my age. It was like a supersized DVD. My dad would play Ray Charles's concert all the time growing up, man. I remember that. So in honor of that, you know, coming up 360 and thinking of that childhood, that's why Ray Charles is the theme music for this week, man, and for this show. And it's powerful, man. Ray Charles is definitely a legendary man in his own right. You know, we have Jay-Z nowadays, and people love Jay-Z. He owns his own masters, owns all of his records. Understand that as a black artist, Ray Charles was the very first one, you know, late 50s, early 60s to actually own all of his masters when he crossed over to ABC. And that was a monumental thing. So not only an amazing man who wrote over 200, close to 200 songs, accomplished so much in his own right, but he owns his own masters. And he was a savvy businessman somebody who did not have an entourage, didn't purchase a lot of homes. And that's why up until his death, right before he was able to save $50 million for himself based off the way he carried himself as a savvy business person. So today's theme music, ladies and gentlemen, you'll get the best of Ray Charles, man. We're going to groove today. So the topic of the show is Carpe Diem. And without further ado, to my brother from another mother, Big John, tweaking and twisting the dials, man. I'm late on the shout out. I apologize, John. I had a lot on my mind. If you can, cue that TC Speaks, please. Ah, well, let's get into it then, my brother. Let's get into it then. So we're talking about Carpe Diem, all right? When I was about 11 or 12 years old, attending Hill Country Middle School, y'all, I wanted to be different. I wanted to be different. I ended up taking Latin as a foreign language, not French, not Spanish, not sign language. Y'all, I went Latin. Shout out to my man, Mr. Carlson, who was my seventh grade Latin teacher, whoever you are, man. Quomodo agitis hodie. How are you doing today? Quid nomen est tibi? Yo, what is your name? Senatus populusque Romani, the Roman Senate and the people. Nos morturi te salutant vos aqui estis. Yo, we who are about to die salute you, man. I'm serious with this Roman language. But in doing so, I also learned about a person by the name of Quintus Horotus Flaccus. And in other words, his name was Horace. And the reason I fell in love with Horace, amongst all the other things about Latin culture, was because Horace was an eloquent poet. He came through during the times of Emperor Augustus, and he was just a very savvy human being. Actually ended up fighting in the Roman army in his own right, and then worked his way up and allowed his poetry to flow. I love anybody who has a gift with words, but Horace is the one who is known for coming up with the term carpe diem. If you're just tuning in and you're not familiar with that term literally means seize the day. And real life, real talk nation, I want everybody to make the commitment to themselves today that you are going to try to squeeze every single ounce of opportunity that you have within this day, because make no mistake about it, you got some opportunity. You have opportunity. You are here. I want you to squeeze every single ounce of that opportunity out, and let's make the most of it. Let's go so we can grow. All right. So I'm going to break down three principles for yourself as to how you go about seizing the day. And y'all know me. I think y'all thinking about grinding and working and doing all this other stuff. I'm going to do something different and going against the grain of what your mind is actually conjuring up to really give yourself some perspective, some food for thought that will change things for you in a different way when going over what it takes to seize the day. All right. So principle number one, way you go about seizing the day is I want people to focus on being a cheerful giver. For me, giving of money, for instance, was a hard thing for me to do. Whenever somebody, you know, needed some change or anything like that, it was like, yo, it's tough for me to do that, because in my mind and in my heart, I always tried to control the dollar. I always tried to control the money that would be given to somebody to try to help anybody. I always tried to figure like, OK, if I give this person that money, like, what are they really going to do with it? You know, are they going to go spend it at the corner store? Are they going to go spend it on booze? Will it go be spent on drugs and alcohol? Especially when you talked about people who are on the corner and they may need that extra dollar in their pocket. And don't front like I'm the only one who ever rolled up to the red light. And when people are out there, you know, they looking for money. You kind of hold your head down as if you don't see them. All right. Yo, I'm just being honest that, you know, I've been there. And there was one instance in particular. I was on the east side one day and a person needed some money. And I looked at my wallet. It's like, yo, I only got $50 bill in here. And my soul was torn because there's a part of me that said, yo, give it freely. And don't worry about what it's not your job to worry about what that person does with it. Don't even worry about that. The man up above was like, I'm working on your spirit. I got to get you to a place where you can give without trying to hold on to what you give. Why? Because I'm going to look out for you no matter what. And I remember giving that money over to this individual who was there on the corner. And I think my arms were shaking. That's how hard it was. My arms were shaking, but I gave the money. And that was the beginning of having my soul restored and having my soul changed, my outlook of people changed, and wanting to be a cheerful giver, because it was the first time I felt like I'd ever given money without having any type of strings attached to me trying to help somebody out, you know, and by that, I mean, just being free, not worrying about what somebody else is doing. And those are the things that shouldn't even have been on my mind. No matter how big or how big or how small your gift is, you want to be able to give gifts without having any strings attached to it, right? I want people to intently focus on what they give. Focus on the energy that comes from it with no strings attached. I think when I started to do that, my spirit became lifted. I really liked the feeling that I got by doing for other people, and not necessarily always monetary. I just use that as an example of something I struggle with. I want people to intently focus on whatever they give, like the energy, the time, whatever you're doing in terms of giving, do it with no strings attached. And that's what I started living my life by. And I soon became somebody who enjoyed giving more than anything else in the world. And so my question to you all who are listening in is, are you a cheerful giver? You know, who are you when you give? What is it that falls over your mind? And if you give and you're always wondering what the outcome of that gift will be, how people will use it, I want the people to know that you have some work to do on your spirit like I was. All right. But you'll find that when you give of yourself, when you give of something, man, it sets you on a trajectory to go about seizing the day. And one test for yourself to do it is, man, I want to challenge people to go to a trafficked area. Right. Go to a heavier trafficked area and leave an amount of money on the ground that, you know, makes you uncomfortable. Everybody's different. Everybody's budget is different. But go to a trafficked area. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty heavy with footwork and just leave whatever dollar amount on the ground that makes you somewhat uncomfortable. You know, leave it there and just go camp out, hide out in a bush or something. And as you watch, you know, and as somebody picks it up, you know, what is your mindset then when they're picking it up? You know, you hoping that it'll be a good person, maybe a kid, like you hoping for the best, but maybe that person doesn't look like that. Maybe that person doesn't match what you were thinking in your mind. And what are the thoughts that start hitting your brain? Are you start wondering, like, what are they going to do with it? Or maybe that's not the person I wanted. Maybe I wanted a male to pick it up, maybe instead of a female. And if those thoughts are rolling through your mind, that lets you know you got a lot more work to do to become a cheerful giver with no strings attached towards what it is that you're doing. All right. And the catch is, when you are somebody who wants to become a cheerful giver, you're going to do so freely without worrying about the outcome of the gift. It's like, man, you can take somebody in the customer service industry. You tip before you even get the meal, bro. It changes your whole experience. And it's not necessarily a tip to get. It's just because you get the joy after watching somebody smile. And what's unique about why this message is relevant right now is literally because our country is opening its doors, right? We're getting these shots, we're getting vaccines, and we're going to get back into this customer service industry. We're going to go back out to eat. We're going to have more person-to-person interaction. And over the last year, one of the things that has suffered is customer service. So think about how you can blow the doors open with the way you approach customer service, with when you're eating out, with when you're doing things face to face, by leaving a tip at the very beginning, right? Because we know people can be cruel, people can be shrewd, people can undervalue another person's worth. But man, when you tip at the beginning, or when you show love at the very beginning and you let people know, like, I'm here for you, I believe in you, I support you, I know that you are a person of value, it changes the experience that you have with your time with that individual, and it sets it up for them to pay those things forward. All right. So that's what I saw growing up. I started to think about those things when I was going through this pruning process of becoming a cheerful giver. And I said, man, these are the things. All right. Because change can't come until you step outside of your comfort zone. And I started to step outside of my comfort zone. And I noticed that, man, I love this giving atmosphere. I love the opportunity to bring a smile to somebody else's face when they least expect it. And we're not just talking about monetary things. Those are just things I use as an example for you to weigh where you are as a cheerful giver. And so you can see your comfort zones and where you need to be outstretched out of. Because if you're going to be somebody who's willing to go about this process of seizing the day, you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone. I know you're going to work hard. I know you're going to do those things to get the most out of the day. But how else are you going to impact somebody else's life? And the quickest way to do that is to be a cheerful giver. Yo, have a smile on your face. Do something that is unexpected when you interact with somebody else. Yo, throw a tip out there before you even get your service. Let people know, like, I see you. I appreciate what you're doing for myself or my family, whatever you're trying to do in this restaurant right here and right now. Like, I see you and I want you to enjoy our company as well. Be a cheerful giver, ladies and gentlemen. Step one to carpe diem and season the day. Be a cheerful giver. Catch us on the other side of this break. McJohn's going to take us out. Ray Charles will bring us back and we'll get into principle number two of how you go about seizing the day.
Is the right time to be.
Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome back. Welcome back. Ooh, that night and day. Oh, man. Hey, that takes me back. That takes me back to watching the Huxtables growing up, man. Y'all, 80s baby. I think that's one of the first times I ever heard that night and day song, you know, growing up watching the show, the Huxtables, the Cosby Show back in the day, man, lights in my childhood. And I still remember Rudy singing that night and day still to this day, man. Love that Ray Charles song. Welcome back, everybody. Tyler Campbell, a.k.a. Mr. TC Speaks. I'm at TC Speaks 32. Send in your text messages, 512-337-3776. Live, local, and digital. We are the Horn radio station. Take us everywhere that you go. Download the Horn app. Yo, we got it going on. Keep this thing rolling. It is an absolute honor and a privilege to be your hostess with the mostest for this afternoon. Tell a friend to tell a friend. We got it going on at Real Life and Real Talk. Talking about the way that you can go about carpe diem, you know, season the day. Gave everybody earlier kind of the backdrop of how the phrase carpe diem came to be, right? How I fell in love with Horace, the gentleman who was an eloquent poet, a wordsmith in his own right during that time when Emperor Augustus was a ruling. And he is the one who is responsible for coining the phrase carpe diem, or hello, seize the day. Right. And walked everybody through the first principle and the first wave of how you go about seizing the day. And the way you go about seizing the day is being a cheerful giver. Right. And you got to learn how to be a giver as somebody who gives without any strings attached. Right. I walk people through. I'm vulnerable. I'm transparent. Yeah, yo, that's something I really, really struggled with, especially when I was getting out of college and getting through another phase of my life. I'm very cheap, you know what I'm saying? And so I always wondered, like, yo, if I give you this change, yo, what are you going to do with it? You know, you need these extra couple of dollars. You know, what are you going to do with it? And that is the wrong mindset to have if you're somebody who wants to, who's trying to be a cheerful giver. So, i.e., wake up call. You want to get to a place where you are someone who gives without any strings attached, right? You give because it's who you are. You give because you feel like what you are doing will hopefully bless somebody else, right? You want to be a blessing and be a blessing to somebody else. You give, and I walk people through that process, you know, an easy way to start doing that. Yo, drop some money on the ground, amount of money that's uncomfortable for you or not too uncomfortable for you, and stand back and see who watch back and see who picks up the money. Right. And watch yourself to see, you know, what is your mindset? You know, are you somebody who's like, man, I hope this person picks it up. I hope a little kid picks it up, or I don't want that person to pick it up because I don't know what they might do with it. It's like you're trying to control the money even after you give it. And that, my friends, is not a cheerful giver. You give of it because it's on your spirit and it's on your heart. And you move on from it. All right. And that's what you have to work at to be and become a cheerful giver. You have to do things that are outside of the box, and you do it. You get creative with it. You have fun with it because it's a product of who you are. You like to see other people happy. You like to see people rejoice in their spirit. And it's one of the things that I gathered from my father, Earl Campbell, growing up. It's like, yo, Pops used to tip way before we even got the meal, way before we even got our drinks. He would lay the tip down. And it wasn't so much about balling. It wasn't so much about flossing or throwing money at people. It was just about, yo, I want to see you happy. I want you to know that I value your customer service. I value what you are trying to do in this industry that you are in right now, that I want to tip you beforehand. And I want to let you know that I see you. Self. Like little things that interest you. I'm not saying you have to go above and beyond, but allow yourself to receive a gift from yourself back in. And so that's what my wife showed me. And man, I started out small, y'all. Like, I started out with clothing. Like, I literally, my house started out like with Amazon. Yo, my wife always had something showing up. Either it was for her or for the kids, because she always does so much for everybody else. And then she likes to shop too. You know what? What woman doesn't like to shop, right? And so my wife was like, yo, why don't you, you know, buy yourself some wardrobe? Buy, you know, start off small. Buy a pair of shoes. And y'all, I'm telling you, Man, I bought a pair of New Balances, red, white, and blue. Still got them to this day. You know, nothing major, about $60-something dollars. Bought me some New Balances, man. I was waiting on that package, y'all. Like, I couldn't wait to receive this gift. It did something for me. It ignited something for me. Like, I actually felt like, yo, it's okay to buy some things for myself. It's okay for me to receive a gift for myself from time to time, and there's nothing wrong with it. And y'all got to be honest, when I got that first taste of them New Balances, yo, shout out to Superb Sneakers out there, my man Ramal Porter and Big Marv out there in San Diego, California, Aztecs for Life, former football players at SDSU. They started their own brand called Superb, and man, I started buying they sneakers. Man, I started buying sneakers off the rip. And I'm talking about, these weren't cheap sneakers. They was like $150 a piece. Now I'm buying sneakers. I got packages showing up. I changed up my whole wardrobe. I got ASOS and all these clothing apps on my phone. And now I'm buying gifts. And it's like, my wife was like, yo, time out. my wife was like, yo, time out. You're doing too much receiving. You got to slow down. But what it did was it showcased that my heart was ready. It showcased that I had broken through a barrier. And all this giving, there is some receiving that also needs to take place for your heart and for your mind, for your body to maintain health at the highest of levels as people. Because sometimes we get caught up in the give, so much so that like what I was doing was saying, I'm not worthy to receive anything. And I don't think that's what we were created to be. I think we were created, and maybe I'm against the grain. Y'all can text me in 512-337-337. 3776, but I think that we were created as human beings to not just give. I think we're supposed to enjoy some things. I think we're supposed to receive gifts from people. I think we're supposed to do certain things for ourselves, for our happiness, to watch over those things. And so if there's one kickback that I want to give back to people who've written in those emails from time to time in the show, because I keep all of y'all's emails, whether you recognize it or not, is your boy TC is not just saying, yo, give, and not bring something back in to your spirit and to your soul. Yo, you give, and you utilize that as an opening for your heart. If you can give, then that means your heart is also made ready to receive, because your giving principles, your soul principles, your values, your core values as a human being and what you value in life, yo, they're in position. You're good for that thing. So now your heart is ready to receive. But I don't feel like you can't get to the receiving end if you first and foremost don't have the giving down pat, man. So shout out to my wife for showing me what it means, you know, to receive some things, because then I started to really understand that I can welcome happiness in my life, right? I can do things for myself and I don't have to feel guilty about it, you know? And I think, you know, my MS life was trying to prepare me for that. But I overlooked the messaging. Like, I overlooked the principles and the values that life was trying to pour back into me when I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, right? Because when I was diagnosed, you know, my mom had to come and get me. You know, my mom had to come out to California. She had to take care of me because I was laying on the flat of my back. My body was so raptured with multiple sclerosis, and you all know my story. Was the first person to ever play Division I college football with MS. You know, had a pro day, had the opportunity to talk to NFL scouts, whoop-de-whoop, all that stuff. But when I had that relapse that put me on the flat of my back with MS, not being able to function, my mother had to come out to California, feed me, bathe me, help me through physical therapy, move my limbs so that things didn't knot up, lay on the flat of my back, had to help me to the restroom, you know, and that was really, I missed it at that point in time, looking back on it now that I'm 34, and I was being shown those things when I was 21, or at that time 22 years old. And the man up above, or life, was trying to show me, yo, you have to be open to receiving help. You have to let other people step into your life and help you, even when you are at the most vulnerable of places. But maybe I was too young to gather and get that message. But as I'm speaking to you guys in real time right now, I'm thinking over my life. This is straight off the cuff. Like, I'm looking over my life, and my life was literally trying to teach me early on in that age, like, yo, I'm making your heart ready to receive. I'm putting you in the most vulnerable place that you can be put in, son. And this is what, if you can understand how to receive now, yo, you won't be behind in doing so when you start your own family, when you get down on one knee to marry your wife, when you choose to make her your fiance, when you have more and more children, when you got three kids underneath your belt, you will be okay with receiving because of what I put you through when you were 21 years old. And so what I'm challenging other people to listen, as you're listening in right now, yo, think over those times and those periods in your life, right? When you were put in a situation that wasn't the greatest, where you were forced to be dependent on somebody else to be able to receive that help that they've been, that they have to give you to get out of whatever situation that you've been in. Rough times on your job. Money ain't looking right. All right. Maybe things aren't going well in the marriage. OK, maybe you were called to do something, but you didn't fulfill what you held your hand up and said that you were going to do. All right. But all these other things, yo. They've been placed in your life to try to get you to a place to understand what it's like to receive, to get help, to allow people to step into your life that care for you and they want to be there for you. There's a lesson to be learned. But you got to read through the fine print to be able to get it. And so I'm looking at my life, man. MS was preparing me to receive. I was a little late to the party, but I got it now. You know what I'm saying? You better believe that I got it now. Kudos to my wife. And it's one of the reasons why I sit here back and I always say the same thing every single time. Patience with MS. I'm not saying that you have to believe that thing. People in life, whenever you're going through your go through, you don't have to have the same model that I do. But I just believe that certain things are put into our life for us to be made better, for us to be made stronger, for us to learn, for us to, above all else, help somebody else that we see further on in our life go through what we went through. If for nothing else, just to be put in your life to be a blessing to somebody else because you see them go through the same go through that you went through. And when you do those things, you're trying to prepare their hearts and their minds to receive some form of help to know that they don't have to go about it alone so they can carpe diem and seize the day. All right. So that's what we're talking about. Those are two great principles, man. Be a cheerful giver. Number two, receive without feeling indebted. And on the other side of this break from my man, Big John, we'll get into principle number three as to how you go about carpe diem, seize the day, man. It's a Latin, a man who loved the language of Latin, and I feel proud. Shout out to you, Mr. Carlson, wherever you are, my seventh grade Latin teacher. Yo, I never forgot you, and thank you for giving me this love language that I still love to this day. Catch y'all on this side of this break. Yo, let's go, ladies and gentlemen, so we can grow.
You can talk about the pit. The band was jumping, the people too.
Oh, welcome back, y'all. They're doing the mess around. Everybody's doing the mess around. Oh, man. Oh, but listen, y'all, I'm telling you, man, on the sneak, Ray Charles has so many amazing hits, man. I'm happy. I know my dad is smiling somewhere, wherever he's sitting at. He's like, man, my son is out here playing this Ray Charles, taking it back to when he was a kid. Love you, Pops. Hope everything is going well wherever you are. And I love each and every one of you all as listeners, right? Y'all taking the time to listen in to real life, real talk with your man, Tyler Campbell. Yo, let's go, ladies and gentlemen, so we can grow, all right? Powerful episode. Hey, we are on the horn, live, local, and digital. Send in your text messages, 512-337-3776. I want to challenge people, man. I want everybody to put it in the atmosphere. Yo, send me an email, tyler@tcspeaks.com. Hit me up. Send me a DM on Twitter, IG, Facebook, whatever. I'm at tcspeaks32. And, yo, let me know. Send in some text messages, 512-337-3776. Yo, when are those moments in your time, in your life, when you've been a cheerful giver? You know, what did that feel like for you? You know, what was the emotion that you felt? Because I guarantee it's a good feeling, y'all. If you have never been down that road of giving freely to somebody, oh, it feels like it releases so much from you. And then also let me know when have you received without feeling indebted to somebody? Like when somebody gave you the gift, when you were on the opposite side of this giving and you know genuinely that somebody gave you something with no strings attached, like they don't want nothing from you. It's just like, boom, here's the gift. Like, let's rock. Go on with the rest of your life. How did that make you feel? And where was that time for you? Yo, think logically, y'all. Because I guarantee they will cause an uptick in your spirit. And those are the things that you want to hear near and dear to your heart. When all the times that people say this world is done, this world is finished, and when they want to try to paint the picture in perspective that there's so much more bad people than there are good people in this world. That's what I'm trying to tell people. I want people to know that I just firmly believe, yo, there are good people who want to carpe diem and seize the day by giving and receiving. It's out there. All right. So those are the kinds of things that we've talked about. Y'all share that message. Open up. Be vulnerable. Be transparent, man, because by you sharing what you have to share, understand that somebody else can benefit. through your experience, through what you share. And when you send me stuff through social media, man, through emails, y'all know this, man. I shouted out many listeners. I take snippets of what you send me, man. I put it out there because I know it will bless and help somebody, not for my benefit, but somebody needs to hear from you all as listeners. And I'm all about giving a platform to somebody else because somebody else needs something. Somebody else has something that we all can benefit from, and we can all maneuver through life, you know, together. And so, last principle, when we talk about carpe diem and seizing the day, it's I want to write this down. Position people for success. All right. So we've got becoming a cheerful giver. Right. Receiving without feeling indebted. And then lastly, make it a point to position people for success. You know, as a business owner, myself, entrepreneur, you know, however you want to call it, that's a principle that comes straight from the heart for me. It's something that I value greatly. I like to be a vessel. I like to be a filter. I like to position people to have some form of success or a great amount of success in whatever it is that they're choosing to do, whether we're in the same industry or not. Just people person who just love positioning people to get to a higher level, to get to a greater level. And I think for me, it's like I'm a person who's committed to not compromising who I am personally for what I'm striving for professionally. You know, a lot of times when people go after what it is that they want to go after in their lives, they put things on hold for who they really are and the things that make them genuinely happy, the things that allow them to look in the mirror at themselves and say, yo, I love this person that I see staring back at the mirror. Sometimes people forget that when they're going after their own success. And I'm not somebody who does that. Like I don't compromise who I am personally for what I want to be professionally. And so a big get for me is I love to position people for success. If I'm not doing that with this speaking thing, if I'm not helping with positioning people for success, then what am I doing it for? You know what I'm saying? And so that's always something that's near and dear to my heart. I know my core values. And for me, it made me think about one of the biggest lessons that I learned from one of my most favorite teachers from San Diego State University. Yo, shout out to Mrs. Gerlach, wherever you are. She's probably in California somewhere. An amazing woman, like an MIT grad, entrepreneur by trade. She had an amazing entrepreneurial course when I was in college. It's probably one of my favorite courses while I was at SDSU. But I remember taking my finals left-handed because MS had raptured my body so much. I lost the functioning of my right side. Still had to take my courses. I wanted to graduate on time. So I took all my written finals and all my written essays left-handed with an IV on my right hand, pumping steroids through my veins, trying to get strength back. So I took her finals left-handed. But before we started the final, I'll never forget what she said. And she said, I want to give each and every one of you as students advice. She said, her parting advice was this: please make it a point to hire people who know what you don't know. Please make it a point to hire people who know what you don't know. All right. We talk about positioning people for success. And a lot of times people want to control everything. Right. They want to have their hands over everything. There's probably times when micromanagers are good, but there's also time when you have to let people's creativity flow and you have to accept the fact that you don't know everything within your industry. And quite frankly, you're going to have to take the time to invest in somebody else to help get you to over that hurdle, because they know some things about your business. They know some things about your industry that, quite frankly, you may have overlooked. Right. And so that is, I feel like, what Allison Gerlach was trying to say, because as an entrepreneur, you feel like you got to have everything in order. You got to have all your ducks in a line before you start your LLC, before you start your business, before you put your patent in, before you do all of those things. And that could not be further from the truth. Quite frankly, yo, just get started. And at the same time, when you see people, or when you have the capability to bring people into your organization, when you have people to bring into your dream, yo, hire people who know what you don't know. You don't need somebody working with you, alongside you, and with you within an organization, within a field of study, who knows exactly what you know. Because if that's the case, man, your business is not growing. Your business is not thriving. Your business is not delivering on all four cylinders. You got to get some people who know what it is that you don't know, who are willing to teach you as well as educate you through the process. And don't take it from me. Don't take it from Allison Gerlach. Steve Jobs went even deeper. Love Steve Jobs. Shout out to Apple. I'm an Apple user. I don't know about you, Big John, but I'm an Apple user. And Steve Jobs would say, it doesn't make sense to hire smart people and tell them what to do. I found Dalton on IG because I was like, yo, this dude's videos, although he young, bro, his videos always be on point. Even before we even got the work done, I was like, look, bro, I ain't even seen the video. I don't need to see the video. I know you're going to do a bomb job. Yo, here's the money, because I know when it comes to money and business, sometimes people act funny. Yo, send that in the comments if you've ever been through that. Yo, sometimes when you're doing business, when it gets to the money, people start acting funny. And I never want to have that label. I do the same thing from a video editor person, and I did the same thing from Dalton. It's like, yo, I pay you before the job is even done, because I've seen your gift work that well. I know that you will go out and crush this. And I'm not saying you do that for everybody. I'm saying, yo, whenever you see people and you understand their worth and you see them for their value, you've seen them walk in their gift and you've seen the end product, yo, don't hesitate to give them something off the rip. Why? Because it's only going to make your relationship stronger. It's only going to make that person go above and beyond and never forget you. No matter how far they go in their career, no matter how high they get, they won't forget you, because you were somebody who helped position them for success by doing something that was against the grain. And that's the type of stuff that I was going, or that was the type of stuff that I was going to showcase to Dalton, man. I never met him in my life, but I know he appreciated how I came to him and how I went payment wise, going above and beyond what he normally charged. And I know he'll never forget me for that. And because of that, yo, I got bomb videos out of it. I knew that was going to happen, but it ended up coming true. Yo, I got bomb videos out of it because of, you know, doing things that were opposite and doing what a lot of people don't want to do, position people for success. You know, going to somebody who is even younger than them for advice. I did it. Dalton's a lot younger than me, and I learned a lot through the way that he cuts up videos. And by doing that, man, I'm going to my video guy, Mike, and now we can rock. I'm able to educate him on some of the videos that I need done, and boom, we about to take over the globe. And as a result, when people see certain videos, I'm going to tell them Dalton did it. And so he, too, will reap some benefits from the harvest, man. So be somebody who falls in love with positioning people for success, right? Seeing people in their gifts, seeing people where they are. Try to go above and beyond to try to help that individual. And catapult them, not to want anything from them, but just because you believe in what they have and what they offer more than anything. All right. Get people around you who know what it is that you don't know. All right. And allow them to teach you and educate you, because you will be made all the better because of it. Get off the pedestal, get off the high horse, and have your heart open. If you follow the first two steps, yo, you're ready to position people from success. If you are a cheerful giver, if you can receive without feeling indebted, right, then you are ready to position people for success, because you can't do those things without the first two. And when you combine all of those things, ladies and gentlemen, when you combine every single one of those things, you have just carpe diem. Shout out to Horace. You just seize the day, ladies and gentlemen. This has been Real Life and Real Talk with your boy, Mr. TC Speaks, a.k.a. Tyler Campbell. Have a smile on my face, energy to waste. And if you're looking for unity and empowerment, it is guaranteed that you came to the right place here at Real Life, Real Talk. Yo, tell a friend to tell a friend. Download on SoundCloud. Playback these episodes. We are riding the horse. We're riding the wave. We are upticking. We have a movement going, man. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Let's go, ladies and gentlemen, so we can grow. Peace.